Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, foolish mortals.
Hey, this is Joe Harris.
And this is Megan Hutchison.
We're the writer and artist of Image Comics Rockstars, and you're listening to the Metal Geeks podcast.
Hurricane balls.
That's right. Welcome, my friends, to episode number 137 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave.
And George motherfucking Tripsis.
We'll now measure Metal Geeks episodes in post-Harvey.
Post-Harvey.
Yeah. Post-Harvey.
Post-Harvey episode
so this
one.
Is post-Harvey... One, yeah.
Uh-huh. We got the band back together, man.
Yeah, it's been a while. It feels like it's been a while.
It's been about a month. There's been some things going on in our lives, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it was some hurricanes came by, fucked shit up.
So,
and you went on vacation.
Yeah, I did. So let's talk about the hurricane first. How's everybody doing? Everybody okay for our listeners out there?
Yeah, I got out the most unscathed of anybody here. I feel like if I felt like our street was in some like alternate dimension because it was complete.
There's
chaos.
A mad scientist at the end of your street who created a bubble.
It almost felt like that, seriously, because we had the worst flooding we had was water came like halfway up the driveway at one point at the worst part of the storm.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it for us. We didn't even lose power. We lost internet for like 20 minutes at one point. Oh my God.
Oh no, not
and,
the internet.
Yeah.
The world will go to
the internet. And it was the 20 minutes in the morning of when like the entire rest of the world was busy telling Houston how we should have evacuated. Right.
Like
and
that
so
that would have been a way worse idea.
That was it's a terrible idea. None of these people understand that why you can't evacuate Houston. We've tried that.
And it did not work out.
It didn't work out.
More people died trying to evacuate than they...
For a storm that never happened.
Yeah.
More people died evacuating a storm that never hit than died in this storm. So if we had been in the same scenario for Rita, in this storm that we were for Rita, literally thousands of people would have died on the highway.
Oh, yeah.
Or swimming, at least.
Because the highways got flooded.
Yeah.
I mean, completely flooded some
Hell
places.
Yeah. You know on 45 where you see that Be Somebody thing? That was completely underwater.
I know.
That was crazy to see those pictures.
So for any of our listeners that are from the outside of the Texas area, from the Houston area, a lot of places down here got hit hard.
Yes.
And I want to give a shout out to all of our friends down here, all of our fans, and especially anywhere on the Gulf Coast.
People in like Corpus Christi.
Rockport in that area. And then the next week, Irma hit in Florida. And we have a lot of good friends in Florida. So I want to make sure that people know that John Michael, our old host on this show, is doing well.
Yeah.
And our good friend Brian down in Florida, who does a lot of stuff for the show, his family is doing well.
That's
so
good.
I'm happy for those guys. Florida got hit hard as well, not as hard as what happened here.
The
but
storm hit hard. Is that the
different part?
Like they didn't get as much rain as we did.
That was the weird part about Harvey for us, and what was the really scary part of it was the storm. The hurricane didn't really hit Houston per se. It hit Port Aransas and Rockport and
it
Corpus
was
Christi.
The outlining band, but it stuck around so long.
Yeah, it sat still because there was this high pressure holding it in place. And so it just sat in one spot for like 3 days, dumping water on Houston specifically. It was just like we were right in the worst spot for rain.
We were not prepared for that much water.
No. We're in a city of bayous. I mean,
we sit in a bowl of city.
Yeah, pretty
Our
much.
In a bowl.
Yeah, we really are. And, you know, you hear the stories about people that I know were affected by it. They had to release the reservoirs and stuff like that. It's a horrible situation.
Yeah. I mean, I got flooded, but I mean, compared to other people, I think I did okay. Like, I had one of my family members' whole house is gone.
I know. I feel, even though the only thing that happened to me is power surge knocked out our AC unit, I feel extremely lucky.
Survivor's guilt now, huh?
I do a little bit. there was a lot of guilt that I was feeling right afterwards because we were scheduled to go on our vacation that next week.
Yeah, I know.
Like that Sunday. And it was like we tried to get out of it, but
I think it's a good thing y'all did go on that vacation. I mean, what was the point in just sitting in that misery? I mean, you can only do so much anyway.
I know, but I had that guilt though.
I got the guilt too because like literally nothing happened at my house, and people two streets over are like sitting in the house halfway full of water. We listened like in relative comfort. We listened for seemed like a week of hearing rescue boats and like Coast Guard helicopters and all around us, and we're fine. And it does, it kind of makes you go, you know, I almost feel bad that I have it so well.
I know.
And so I made it a point. I was like, as soon as the water started to recede, I put word out and I was like, who needs help? I'm fine.
That's what's that's
what made me feel guilty because I couldn't do that. I was scheduled to go on a vacation. Yeah. I'm like, you know, I felt bad. I really did. But once I got on the ship,
it was really cool to see how so many people came out to help. Like I was helped by a lot of strangers that I barely knew. And
so I was telling you before we got started here, one of our a convention friend of mine. I've only known the guy from Comic Cons, but I've known him for several years. And his house got flooded really bad, and he made a call out on Facebook, and he was like, hey, all y'all saying that y'all ready to help, here's what I need. Now's the time. I was like, if you're serious, I need it. And so I called him and I was like, hey, I have some stuff for you. Who you have there helping you out? He goes, right now I'm here by myself. I said, cool. I've got my stuff loaded up and I'm on my way. By the time I got to his house, there were 15 to 20 people in his house helping him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, very cool.
That's one good thing about, you hate to say it, but like during times like these, people come together.
The best comes out of people.
It really does. We're people. That's who we are. Everybody's trying to survive in this situation. It doesn't matter what part of town you live in, what color you are, who you're friends with. None of that shit fucking matters. It's how am I going to survive? Where am I going to live at? What am I going to do? How am I going to eat? It's these basic questions that people take for granted. And when you lose that, it's a completely different thing.
Yeah. People in the city of Houston really rocked it and helped out a lot of people.
One of the, I was finally able to make it down to work, for an event on Friday. We had some of local Houston cosplayers come down to the George R. Brown, and the George R. Brown is a convention center where Comic Palooza is held, and it's being used for, basically for anybody who doesn't have a place to go, a shelter to go to. And we met up on a Friday, and, you saw it on the news and all that kind of stuff, but physically being there and seeing it firsthand, it's crazy. It's really rough. It's emotional.
I remember filming stuff, for Rita when I was at, in Beaumont.
Yeah.
And I had to film Houston stuff for Beaumont, and I remember filming stuff in the Astrodome, and it's pretty frightening in there.
It's sad.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, you want to talk about something not sad?
Yeah, well, let's get past all the Harvey stuff. Yeah, we got all the table stuff out.
I'm glad everybody involved with this show is doing okay. Everybody is good. I want to get that out there first of all. While we're talking about the hurricane, let's talk about something what Justin has done.
Oh yeah, let's go ahead and talk about that.
So our good friend, your co-host and your partner in your comic book, Justin, has put together this really cool podcast pack, and we were involved in it. I recorded a short little 10-minute thing with
my wife,
the voice from the other room, because I didn't want to have to get you guys involved. It was like during the week.
I was physically unpossible.
You were physically unable to do it. So so we just recorded a little quick scene. We called it Fuck You, Hurricane Harvey, basically. So he's put together this really cool package deal. Minimum of $10 donation. You're going to get over 40 different podcasts who all recorded special episodes to benefit. Basically, I think, so 48 episodes, it looks like. They're all exclusive episodes. None of these are going to be on anybody's feed or anything like that. 25% of the money is going to be distributed evenly among Houston area podcasters that have been severely affected. And the rest of it, 75%, is going to Mayor Turner's Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund, which is one of the good relief funds going around right now.
Well, because
it's made for Houston. It's going right back.
It's not going to the Red Cross or anything like that.
We're not talking about that. We're not going to, not going to go there. But
J.J. Watt Fund, who God knows where that money's going.
The J.J. Watt Fund, I believe, is good. We're not gonna get political on this. We're not going there. This is a good thing. So the podcast involved, of course, the Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast,
whoop, whoop,
Dogfin Radio, Bri-Fi Podcast, Metal Geeks Podcast, Succotash, Father Gamer Podcast, Nerdy Bitches Podcast, Rebel Radio Podcast. They realized a lot of shows have podcast in their name.
Because they're a podcast.
Legends of the Shield, Save It for the Show, The Voice of Survival, EMZT Radio, Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom, Strange and Unusual Podcast, Epic Film Guys, Popcorn Finance, The Bearded Beacon, 365 Flicks, From the Bone Vault, Childless but Not by Choice. Okay.
It's a title.
Yeah. Screen Watchers Guild, Cult 45, The Movie Podcast, Journey to Launch and Deeper Than Work crossover episode, Garris's Random Ramblings Urban Astronaut Podcast, Danny Boy and Cousin Jesse Podcast, Shot of History, Nerdy Confessions, Death by Podcast, Growing Up Rock, Hail Ming Power Hour, The Horror Returned, Mac Nez. Wow, there's a lot of them. Digital Soup.
Are you going to read every single one?
If they made a special episode, I'm going to read every single one.
Okay.
Pointless Discussions, The Medium Matters, Nature of the Beast, Walker the Geek Podcast, E-Society Podcast, Sift the Podcast, The Vocal Fries, The Potter Erotica Podcast. Wonder what that one's about.
It's about Harry Potter erotica.
I think I got that from the name.
Yep.
Might have to go into my playlist now.
All right.
It's not.
We know what you enjoy now.
It's not really.
It's out in the world.
Kiss Fact, Kiss My Collectibles, Life Under the Laundry Pile, and the Terrible Terror Podcast. Thank you to all of those shows who recorded something. Some of those I have no idea what you're about.
I haven't heard of a lot of those shows.
I'm going to make my donation, and I'm going to download this podcast pack. It's hard to say that five times fast. And I'll listen to every single one. If you support Houston and did a special episode, I'm going to listen to it.
I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah. Which one are you excited to hear? The Potter Erotica?
The Potter Erotica one.
Yeah, me
definitely
too.
Up my alley.
I'm curious about Life Under the Laundry Pile. That sounds like my house.
Sounds like they came up with that idea after watching Clerks.
Right, maybe. So thank you to all the great podcasts that contributed an exclusive episode. Thanks for supporting this cause, you know.
Houston thanks you.
Houston, we do thank you. And what happened to my saying here?
I don't know. Should ask your wife.
What?
Oh!
Oh! So you can go to generosity.com. This is a long title. I'm trying to figure out the best way to do it. generosity.com/emergencies-fundraising/hurricane-harvey-victims-something-more-too. /podcast-pack.
Probably. So
can that
Google
link
it.
Be found somewhere easier to find? Like, is
maybe. Maybe if you go to the metalgeeks.net website.
There you go.
Also, if you follow us on Facebook, I'm sure it's up there everywhere.
Yes.
On Facebook.
So go to the show notes for this episode that you're listening to, and we'll put the link there. That's much easier.
Or Google it. I'm sure you can find it.
Yeah. So thanks to Justin for putting that together.
It's really,
cool,
really awesome of him. That was a great idea that he came up with.
So you want to talk about something that's not hurricane related?
I would love to.
Want
to
hear about the trip?
I guess if we have to.
Okay, fine. We don't have to.
No, go ahead and talk about your fancy trip, fancy man.
It wasn't fancy. It was a Carnival cruise.
That's fancy. I've never been on a cruise. You should. Or like a real U.S. cruise.
They're actually
a
lot of fun.
I've never been on a cruise either.
A lot of fun. They're actually not that expensive for what you get. So, I mean, consider you get, if you're for a week cruise, you're getting, you know, all your food, all your room and board, your entertainment, all that stuff is included. Now, we spent a lot of money on the ship, but because none of your alcohol is included unless you buy one of the prepackaged deals.
Mm.
But that was way overkill for me. It was like 15 drinks a day on it. Like, yeah.
Do they like kick over, like roll over or whatever?
I think it's every 24 hours. But we got to go to some cool places. We went to Cozumel. We went to Belize, and then we went to Mahogany Bay, Roatan, Honduras, which is Mahogany Bay is sort of like a private port. So your cruise ship docks there.
And was it full of mahogany?
It was deep, rich mahogany.
Nice.
Yeah.
It had a lot of old dudes with like cabassier and mustaches.
Exactly right. You've been there then.
Yeah, I'm just going off the title.
Yeah. No, it was a cool place. So let's talk about Cozumel. So what we did there, I've been there a few times, and it's an okay port, but we went
tourist place.
Yeah, it is very touristy. There's a lot of it's like a lot of these places, all they want to do is sell you diamonds and tanzanite and jewelry. Because
it's
and shit.
A tourist place.
Yeah. So what we did is we booked this place. It was like a private beach area. It was $55 a person. You take a taxi to get over there, but it was called Mr. Sancho's. Amazing. I recommend this to anybody going to Cozumel to pay the $55 because it includes a covered table with, you know, chairs and everything, unlimited food, and unlimited alcohol. So that
now you know what your $55 went to.
Oh, it definitely went there.
So is it a beach? You get to go to the water?
Yeah, there's a beach and there's like two pools. The pools are really cool because like there's...
So you went to the pool instead of the beach?
We went to both. Oh. You go to both. But the pool actually has a bar that butts up to it. So you can go into the pool, swim up to the bar, get your drink, and they have like these...
And then just pour it in the pool.
No, they have these marble tables all around the pool, and you just hang out in the pool, drink.
Alcohol's included, right? So why the fuck not?
Why not?
Can I have another, please?
Yeah. And any of the drinks and mixed drinks they had there, you can make them frozen and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
My wife found tamarind margaritas.
Tamarindo.
With some chile and some like salt on the rim. Some good shit right there.
So did you like do anything touristy besides, you know?
At one point stuff. It started to rain, and we walked over, or we took the taxi back over to like the downtown area.
Yeah.
Walked around a little bit, went to a couple shops, you know, did some touristy shopping and bought a Mexican blanket, bought some hot sauce.
You didn't buy a sombrero?
Did not buy a sombrero. Didn't need it.
Then
he's up to here with sombreros. He's good.
Pretty much.
He goes to Cozumel so much, apparently.
Not really. I've been there a lot, though, since growing up. And we also went, the next day was Belize, which Belize was really cool.
Did you believe in Belize?
I did. It was unbelievable.
Oh, I see what you did there.
That's their saying. That was on their tour.
Oh, man.
Oh, they said it a lot.
That's rough.
They were real proud of that one.
So
we sat forever to figure this out.
So until like 30-something years ago, Belize wasn't a country. It was British Honduras, I think, something like that. And English is the main language of Belize.
Mm.
Number two is not... What do you think number two is?
Portuguese?
No. Creole. Not French Creole like New Orleans, but actual real Creole.
What does that sound like?
Weird.
Clang, 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 clang. That's what I imagine. I know New
Orleans.
She
tried teaching it to us, but... And then the number three language is Spanish. So all
kids... Run into John McAfee down there? Sorry. I'm glad you knew what I'm talking That's about.
Funny. I don't get the joke. What happened?
John McAfee, the guy.
McAfee antivirus stuff.
Oh.
He's like batshit crazy.
He is.
Oh,
but
is he really?
But he's also...
Like the mayor of Belize, kind of.
No, he's wanted
is
in
he
Belize.
Wanted now?
Oh, yeah. Did you not know that?
I know he, like, murdered some people.
He allegedly murdered a neighbor.
He thought he was a virus.
No, he went fucking batshit crazy is what happened.
He maintains his innocence that it's not what it looks like. But he's been a fugitive from Belize for some time now. Yeah.
I saw the documentary on Showtime. That's the only reason why I know anything about it.
So what we wound up doing in Belize is we didn't find McAfee at all. But we took a tour down to a place called Alton Ha. It's a Mayan ruin. Amazing. If you've never...
Alton Ha?
Alton Ha. A-L-T-U-N and then H-A.
And it's a Mayan ruin near Belize.
Yeah, it's in Belize.
In Belize.
Yeah, so I don't think it was a ritualistic site or anything, but it was more of a city center type of situation.
Mm.
And... there's some interesting stuff. It was pretty cool. You didn't spend a lot of time there because, like, you took like an hour bus ride to get there. But during the bus ride, you know, that's where you learned all about, you know, the culture and the city and all that. It was a good bus ride. And then on the way back, of course, you sleep, which you do on a bus, right? After being out in the hot sun for a couple
usually
hours.
I just like pick and prod people next to me.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
I should have done that. It was cool, though. I mean,
put stuff in their mustache and
there's some interesting stuff I found. Like, we found this. I have a picture of it on my Facebook. If you guys want to look at it, we can actually put it here. But there's this tree, and the leaves would fall, and there's big ass leaves. And when they dried up, there's one that looked like a fucking face hugger. You see that picture?
I did see that picture. Yeah, yeah.
So I was taking a picture of it, and our guide, the walking guide, she's like, "Oh, do you know what that is?" And me and Kim both said, "Face hugger." She's like, "No, no, no, no." She's like, that is known. If you take that, when they fall off the tree and they dry up like that, you ingest it and it gets you high.
Oh,
I was like, oh, okay.
Good to know.
Good to know.
Next time, I guess.
I know, right? I was like, I'm not looking to steal your leaf and
your
smoke
high
it or
tree,
something.
Yeah.
It was weird.
What was the like, tree called?
I have no, I, something.
Was it the salvia tree?
No, it wasn't the salvia tree. I was just taking a picture because it looked like a face hugger.
I got it.
So the next day we went, it was Mahogany Bay, and that's, you know, there's a beach, and there's, you know, in New Orleans they have Fat Tuesdays.
Yeah.
They had one there on the beach. So.
Because they're Creole?
I guess.
Sort of.
They have them in touristy, you know, areas in the Caribbean in that area as well.
Okay.
Good drinks. I had this, some fruity drink. It had like bourbon in it. But frozen.
You like them fruity drinks.
I do like the fruity drinks. They're delicious and fruity.
So metal of you.
I know. Hey, I had bourbon in it too. That's pretty metal, right?
Sure.
Yeah. But that was a good day. We got super fried. Just like super, super sunburned on
the salvia tree?
That's what I was.
I wish. That might have made
it was right there. You could have.
I mean, yeah.
This is a different place. Might have made the sunburn go
yourself
away.
In know, right? Or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, the cruise is fun. I mean, there was a 4D seater on there.
In the ship.
It was a small. It was very small. Like, there's only, like, three rows of, like, 12 or something like that.
Was it a
like
movie 4D or yeah, the yeah, yeah, ride 4D?
It was a ride.
Oh, gotcha.
So, the seats moved along to the movie, and then, like, you would get sprayed with water.
Is
and,
it like that Marvel thing that we did in Dallas that one time?
Not as advanced as that.
Oh, okay.
It's more, it's like a miniature version of like a 4D movie, like Disney. Remember the Bugs Life movie we did?
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
So that kind of
or
stuff.
Like the Disney's PhilharMagic.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Exactly right.
Excuse me.
We did that too, the PhilharMagic. It's sort of like that, but it's much smaller scale. There's a couple of interesting movies. You pay $15 and you can get like an all week
pass.
That
wasn't included in the
no,
ride.
Of course
your...
not.
Jesus Christ.
But they did have like a scary one. It was called, I don't remember what it was called, but it was like it had three different movies in it. One of them fucking cheesy as hell, like Frankenstein chased after you, but it was like old 3D looking technology, so it didn't look that good.
Uh-huh.
Second one, you went to like this nice house and all of a sudden it turned into like a horror house. And if you played the new Resident Evil game, it's exactly what it felt like.
So horrors came out of nowhere.
Pretty much. And the third one was Friday the 13th. Horrors, not horrors.
I'm just kidding.
I'm sure there were some horrors on the ship. I didn't get into that, though. But the third one portion of it was...
they didn't run the Horror House movie until right. really late
Damn
at night.
It.
That was only cast only.
you had to pay a little extra for
the
fee.
Friday the 13th, the one we directed by Marcus Nispel, the remaster, the remake or whatever.
Yeah.
So what they did, they took 13 of the kills in that movie and put them together into this short. So anytime somebody got slashed and blood splattered, you got hit by water. There's a couple points where a guy got stabbed in the back and the little thing in the seat would stab you.
That's not cool.
Yeah. It was interesting, though. Much better than the Angry Birds one that they had on there.
What did the Angry Birds one do?
Angry Birds was freaking long, too. It was like 13 minutes. You're just like, dude, enough. It went to space, and it did like the car racing and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, wow, all right, enough.
Kids love them Angry Birds.
Apparently. And there was a SpongeBob one. There was a Wile E. Coyote one.
See, I would enjoy the Wile E. Coyote
one. That was cool. And then there was one that was like, didn't make any sense. They took part of a nature documentary about sharks and dolphins trying to get like salmon and stuff.
Well, you're in the boat and
it just didn't make any sense. The only thing they did was like, anytime like a whale would like hit the water, they spray your face with water. Okay.
It was for like the low impact of 4D. So
yeah, you don't get, like, it was exactly right.
Centralized.
But it was a good trip. We watched a couple movies on the. They have like a big screen above the pool.
Yeah. Show Jaws.
They did not show Jaws.
That's,
we watched.
That's the movie you should watch in a pool.
We watched. What did we watch?
We watched Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Dead Men Tell No Tales. Pirates of the Caribbean.
The irony in that, huh?
High Sea Adventures on the High Seas, right? And we also watched. We watched part of John Wick 2, which was like one of their midnight showings one night. And Kong, the new Kong movie. But it's fun.
Cool.
And there was there's water slides and all this kind of crazy stuff.
Did you do water
slides? I did. A lot.
Yeah? Like they're fun. Bill and Ted style?
Yep. Exactly. They had one of those weird bowl slides. I've never been on that before. Like,
oh,
like,
it's like
you
a funnel?
Yeah, it empties out to the bowl. And you get off, you look at it, you're like, what the fucking far drop?
It's like you just got like flushed into a toilet bowl.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. It's fun, though. You should definitely do a cruise one day.
Maybe.
You and your girlfriend would love it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Why not?
Until the boat, like, breaks down in the middle of the ocean and you're stuck there.
It doesn't happen very often.
Did you
often.
Hear about, there was, I don't remember where this cruise was coming from, but that there was, they underwent pirate drill on the cruise ship. Jeez. There was no actual pirate threat. But they shut down the ship for several days.
What?
Like, they shut the ship down and everybody...
passengers on board and
yes.
stuff? Yes. Wow.
Like, people paid to go on a cruise, and instead they got pirate drill week.
Maybe like, that was, like, in the fine print. They just didn't see it.
I did not see that in my fine print at all.
Is that? And on the last week, we're going to be doing pirate drills.
Hopefully we're going to be showing Pirates of the Caribbean, but it's for real.
You will be invaded by pirates by the cast.
Then you get to drink a lot of rum.
Why is the rum always gone? So that's cool, man. It sounds like you had a good time.
I didn't drink that much either.
You sure?
Yes.
I don't know.
He doesn't remember drinking that much.
I saw your pictures on Facebook. You had a drink in your hand.
Not every time.
Every time.
I did discover a trick, though, because we hung out in the piano bar a lot, which was fun.
Is it a way to become an alcoholic? Is that what
you're
going to
tell us? Yes, pretty much. We hung out at the piano bar a lot, and like... like the second to last night, I was like, do you guys have Crown? Because like I was looking at the menu, there's nothing in there I really wanted. They're like, yeah, we have Crown. I was like, well, let me get a Crown and Coke. And like a Crown and Coke was like $7.95, right?
Uh-huh.
So I can make it a double for $3 more. I'm like, well, that's a better deal. So basically for $10.95, you get a big version of it. And I was like, you know what? Just put half the amount of ice. She's like, let me tell you a secret. If you put the full amount of ice... and they put the alcohol in there, there's less room for Coke, so you're going to get more of a drink. I was like, you know, I've never thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then you have less mixer, so then you're just drinking all the alcohol at that.
Exactly right.
Well,
that's the way you want it.
Y'all are men, right? So
at that point, why even put mixer in your drink? I just drink it straight at that point.
Oh, I did win the. This is interesting. They had a lot of trivia contests and that kind of stuff going on, and there was a superhero one. Guess who won it?
You did?
That's right.
Nerd.
Yeah, pretty much.
How many?
You won on a tiebreaker question, too, didn't you?
I did win on a tiebreaker.
Was there a lot of competition? Was the competition stiff?
There was a lot of people in the room, but so there was 20 questions, basically, and you know, you get a piece of paper, and you write all the answers down, and then at the very end, he's like, okay, so let's start at number 10. How many people got 10 questions right? 11, 12, 13. I missed one question.
What questions did you miss?
I don't remember. I just couldn't understand the guy, truthfully.
You don't remember your failures?
I don't remember my failures. I put my failures out of mind. But the face-off question that I had with this other dude was, what character can turn herself into diamonds?
And the dude couldn't think of one.
He didn't know it.
What a loser.
I was like, all right. But he got a a trophy, too. So he got a participation trophy.
Lame.
I know. I was like, I still won, though. You know, we got the same thing, but whatever.
Reaganomics still affecting us in the future.
Yep. But it was fun, though. There was a cool, there was a pub on board, which was really cool. Like, we hung out there a little bit. It was like the Red Frog Pub. And since I don't drink beer, we discovered that they had actually specialty like pub stuff, like food and drinks and stuff like that.
Like pub food?
Yeah. It was like
bangers and mash?
No, it was more.
Or is this like just fried food?
It was more, yeah, fried Caribbean type food. Like they had like fried conch fritters and fried shrimp and that kind of stuff. But
okay.
We discovered that, so a drink. A normal drink is like $8.95, right?
Okay.
Expensive. Yes. That's why people pay for the drink packages on the
mm-hmm.
cruise.
Mm-hmm.
We discovered like on the second to last day for $19.95, you can get a pitcher of the same drink and you make four drinks out of it.
Okay.
So me and my wife were able to share for the same price of two, we got four. So we did that.
If y'all like the same drink.
Right. You have to get the same drink. Of right. course. Yeah.
Or you can just drink a whole pitcher to yourself.
You could. I didn't.
And then really
shock that nobody knows kidneys. About.
Make those kidneys go to work.
Yeah. And dude, there were so many drunk people on the ship. Crazy. Food was good. We went to like a fancy steakhouse, which was extra money, unfortunately. But it was good. Really good. Because we took my niece for her high school graduation. That was the big point of the trip.
Mm.
And there was other people on board that we knew, too. Do you want to talk about that?
I don't have hardly anything to say. I wasn't there.
You weren't.
I don't know what you're talking about, so sure.
Brutal Dave's father-in-law was on the ship.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
He was on vacation.
The same boat?
Same boat, same
That's
week.
Amazing. What a small world.
Yeah. He tried to get us to go to karaoke more times than I can remember.
He loves karaoke.
He does love karaoke. He loves karaoke and beer. Well,
he likes embarrassing
name.
People.
Like, you should have carried the karaoke.
And he was trying to get, yeah, I know, it's in my name, right? He's trying to get me to do it, and he's like, what if they had Blind Guardian?
I was
like,
they?
No, they did not. I was like, still not going to do
what
it.
If they had
ACDC? I'm proud of him for pulling out the Blind Guardian
card. He said
card
Blind there. Guardian, he said somebody else, too. I can't remember the other band.
They had AC/DC, I know you love them.
Fuck no. And there was a comedy.
I'm sure there was a Metallica song you could have sang.
Probably, but I wasn't going
to. Just going, yeah, the whole entire time.
Yeah. But, I mean, the people that were up there when we first got into the room, they were, like, fucking, like, talented. And I'm like, yeah, not going to do that. I'll do karaoke. I've never... If,
just
like, everybody sucks.
Just get drunk and no one cares.
I care.
You'd be drunk. Why would you care?
It doesn't matter. I would still know.
No, you won't. You won't remember. You probably wouldn't be able to read the screen.
Yeah, maybe not.
You'd be like, nothing matters. That's what it sound like.
So the funny thing,
sir, you're supposed to be singing "Don't Stop Believing."
Oh, dude, do you know how many times I heard "Don't Stop Believing"?
I'm sure
during
it was
the week?
A lot.
I mean, it's a karaoke bar, man. What do you expect?
The piano bar they played it in. Like there was this really cool, like the main area. They had like this where the stairs were in the middle. They had like a little area in the front where like bands could play. Little bands could play.
Uh-huh.
And they had this one band. It was like. Electrical violins. They're cool. Really cool. Mm-hmm. But at one point, like, they were doing, like, Game of Thrones and, like, Metallica and shit like that. It was pretty cool.
See, I would be inclined, if I heard the Game of Thrones theme, I'd go, Wiener.
I was doing that.
See, that's what I would have done, though.
It was like,
time.
I cannot stop singing about wieners.
Yep.
Thank you, South Park.
You're welcome.
But yeah.
Well, that's your...
Going on a cruise with Dave's father-in-law.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway from it.
There you go. At least it's a memorable thing you take away from it.
We should do a Metal Geeks podcast cruise.
Just record the whole entire... I don't know. I think we would end up hating each other by the end of the week.
No.
70,000 tons of metal.
Yeah, I would do that.
I probably wouldn't do that.
Why not?
Unless you're paying for me to go. I mean, that's the only way it's going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Okay, then it's probably not happening.
That they have an announcement for next year?
I have no idea. Man. I don't know.
Interesting. I've always wanted to do that. That would be a lot of fun.
You know who has announced bands is all of the small venues around Houston. Are we ready to switch over and can we talk about that for a minute?
Okay, so, you know, guess who announced bands and then canceled?
Could it be the same people that did it last year?
No. But at least they started the show last year. So Houston Open Air decided, hey, we're going to come back to Houston after the debacle of last year of, you know, having to close down and not being able to open because of the weather and stuff like that. So they decided, hey, we're going to move. We're going to redo it. We're going to open up. We're going to do it at the Woodland. So there's no chance of that because the park where they were at last year was the NRG Park. Any kind
the parking lot.
Parking lot, yeah. Uh-huh. So any kind of
do concerts in the parking
they
lot.
They do. They do. Yeah. So any kind of inclement weather was like lightning, they shut it down. They kick everybody out. They get everybody out of there.
Okay.
Liability, blah, blah, blah. So we discussed the show last year. So they decided, hey, we're going to do a show in the Woodlands.
For everyone we're talking about, this is the open air.
Houston Open Air.
Yeah, okay. All
right. So a bunch of bands are scheduled to play. Some good. Mostly bad.
Yeah.
Like Mastodon was scheduled. Suicidal Tendencies was scheduled to play. Who else was on
there? No, there were some good ones too. Yeah. No.
That's considered your bad pile?
That's the good pile.
Oh, okay.
Bad pile would be like, who is on that?
I honestly didn't even pay attention to this one. I think Marilyn Manson was on there.
Yeah, that's right.
KMFDM.
No.
Were they not on there?
No.
Okay, because that...
They're coming with Mastodon.
So Mastodon attached to that show then is what happened.
Yeah, their lineup's not even on the website anymore. So basically, they canceled the show saying that due to unforeseen and ongoing circumstances, as well as continuous relief efforts needed to help stabilize Houston and its surrounding areas, we are canceling Houston Open Air. What do you think about that?
They're never going to do another show.
No, but... Okay, so it wasn't scheduled to happen until sometime in October. What they should have done is taken some proceeds from the sales of tickets and donated it to Hurricane Relief.
Well, they probably lost their venue space is what happened.
Well, yeah, that or they decided, hey, we're just going to pull out. And they're using this as an excuse, in my opinion.
Or because, maybe.
I mean, there
you
is
think
still...
This and
is
another a... thing could be, they don't ticket sales are probably not there.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Ticket sales are probably shitty. And
they just they got a shitty promoter and they got a shitty guy getting odd number of bands.
Are we in a post music festival world at this point?
That's not true. I enjoy going to music festivals though, because like South by Southwest, ACL, those are real solid music festivals. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy going to those. They're just super expensive is the only problem.
Yeah.
And even Day for Night here in Houston, those are really cool, and they do great work for Houston. It's just that they're super exclusive and very expensive.
For me, part of this is a taste thing, and part of it is probably just being an angry old man thing.
Curmudgeon.
Yeah. I'm not into going and spending all day outside to listen to a bunch of bands I don't like just for the opportunity to listen to a couple bands I do like.
I guess I like finding the opportunity of listening to music I would never normally listen to. I think that's why I like music festivals.
I can do that at home, and I do, streaming on the internet without the discomfort of having to sit. Now, I will say, you said that this was supposed to happen in October.
October 14th.
Last year it happened
15th.
In like...
September.
It happened in September.
Yeah.
Okay, it was still really hot outside, yeah. Was the point.
No, I agree on
why
that.
Why didn't they just move the date until like later in the year?
I don't know, dude. I really
well,
don't...
it lends some credence to your conspiracy theory that they weren't making ticket sales and this was a convenient reason to
or maybe
pull
moving
out.
The date maybe would have like lost half of their bill and then well, what's the point at that point?
I think the reasoning for canceling it's sort of offensive to people here in Houston that they're saying, "Oh, well, I mean, there's definitely areas and people still affected majorly, but a month and a half from now, they're saying you can't have an outdoor festival show in the Woodlands because...
Well, the Woodlands suck anyway.
Because there was a hurricane. And I mean, it doesn't...
I wouldn't have gone to the Woodlands Pavilion.
I know. It doesn't make any sense, though, does it? That the reasoning for their cancellation?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
I don't know. I can understand...
I get that why they're canceling because it's probably poor ticket sales, but...
Well, yeah, I can understand like if a show canceled like now because like there's like the George R. Brown, there's still people living there or the NRG Stadium, you know.
Right, that's what Fandemic did.
Right, Fandemic, another local show, they moved from they're supposed to be NRG this weekend.
Yeah,
but there's still people living there that are displaced, so they moved till next year. Kudos to them.
Next year or
2018? October of 2018, they moved completely.
Pandemic?
Yeah.
I thought they moved to December.
No, they originally moved to December, and then they moved to till October of next year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I guess, you know, they originally moved it to December, but they couldn't get enough celebrities to confirm during that point in time of the year, you know?
Gotcha.
So they, instead of just doing a half-assed show, they decided just to move it and give it more time.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Power to them, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But yeah, this, I don't know if I go with his reason for Houston Open Air.
I mean, it's a shitty festival anyway. Why do we even care?
But it's cool, though, that now Mastodon is headlining over KMFDM and Ogre.
I thought they were dual headliner.
I don't know. I think they're going to be headlining.
Okay.
Which I was planning to sort of go to that show anyways.
I would go.
It's the day before my birthday, actually.
It's on a Sunday.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I want to go. I like the White Oak Music Hall.
I haven't been there yet.
It's really nice.
The last time I was supposed to go was Blues Funeral.
House of Blues, but a little bit fancier.
Okay. The last time we were supposed to go was Blues Funeral. A couple weeks ago, we were supposed to have their record release party. First night of the hurricane.
Right, when the hurricane hit.
Yeah. So.
They were so brutal, they brought the hurricane with their record album.
That's right. They did. They did announce the lineup for Prog Power.
Okay.
Have you heard of any of the bands?
No. I honestly very rarely pay attention to Prog Power because I know I'm never, ever going to go.
I want to go. I really want to go.
It's a huge progressive metal festival.
Oh,
in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's all indoors.
We talked about that last year.
Yeah. So they announced bands Voyager, Nocturnal Rite, Glory Hammer, Ross the Boss. This is the first day. Second day is Angra, Dream Evil, King Crow, I don't know who they are, and Cellar Darling. Have you heard Cellar Darling yet?
Mm-mm.
That's a band I think you would really, really dig. It's the ex-vocalist that used to be in Elevette.
Okay.
It's really catchy, good stuff. And she has that weird instrument, like that. I don't know what it's called. Like she has to turn it to play it.
Hurdy-gurdy.
There you go, hurdy-gurdy. She plays that a lot. Day three, you have Manimal. Don't ask on that one.
It's a man.
But an animal. It's a Manimal. Wasn't there a TV show, Manimal, back in the day or something like that?
I have no idea.
Persephone, Bloodbound, Labyrinth, and Redemption. Do you know who the new vocalist for Redemption is?
I read this, like, yesterday, but I don't remember.
The band that should not be named.
There's a lot of bands.
Evergrey. Tom England.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And then headlining are day four, you're going to have Triosphere, who...
Triosphere's good.
Great band.
Yeah.
Eclipse, who I'd never heard. Soen. Soen is Martin Lopez from Opeth.
Mm-hmm. And early Amon Amarth.
Yeah,
he played in very early Amon Amarth stuff.
Ver is making their first U.S. appearance.
Soen's awesome, by the way.
Soen is really good.
At... Dauber Beverly from Oceans of Slumber posted about them when they had a new album drop earlier this year. I hadn't really heard of them before, so I checked them out on his recommendation, and they're really good. To me, they're like if you took the members from Tool and Opeth and told them to write songs for each other.
Oh,
That's what Soen sounds like.
Exactly right. George is like, I might sort of like that.
I already listened to it, I know.
Okay,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we talked about them before.
Okay. Ver... So, which is Annika van Giersbergen's new band.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
I'm not going there on her.
She's like the busiest person in prog metal, it seems like.
Everybody knows this who knows me. She's my crush. Super crush. Like the Devin Townsend song. And the album's really good too. I got a promo from the new for the full album.
Uh-huh.
It's really good. I'd tempting to go just to see her live again. The last time I saw Annika live was late 90s at the Milwaukee Metal Fest when she was with The Gathering. When they got to play like 20, 25 minutes, you know. And headlining is Hailstorm, which...
I don't care about them.
And Tarja. Meh. Not a big Nightwish or Tarja fan, so...
It's kind of like you're trying to say Target. But not.
Tarja. It's T-A-R-J-A. Tarja.
So it's like Target, but in Mexico.
No.
No.
Finland.
Yeah.
Finland.
I'm probably not saying it. Tarja is not right, the right way to say it. Taria.
Taria is probably. Taria. I think yeah. so. Yeah. So yeah, Manimal was American action adventure series that ran from September 30th to December 17th, 1983 on NBC.
A man who could turn into an animal.
Yes, the show centers on the character Dr. Jonathan Chase, a shape-shifting man who possessed the ability to turn himself into any animal he chose. He used this ability to help the police solve crimes.
Manimal.
Of course he
did. It was the 80s, of course. That was every show in the 80s.
I'm tempted to go because Dreamweaver is one of my favorite power metal bands, and they've never played the States before. So
they've never been on stage before?
Never played the States.
Oh, the States.
Yeah. So tempting. And to see Ver live? I don't know. But, oh, yeah, headlining the last night. Sorry, it's or the third night, just four nights, is James LaBrie. Dream Theater.
Oh.
I'm not really listening to his solo stuff. I don't... To me, James LaBrie has always been the weak link in Dream Theater. Sorry.
He has his good moments sometimes, and he has his bad moments.
I think he's actually gotten better with time. I think that with time, he's figured out where his capabilities really lie and is embracing those. And I feel like his early work with Dream Theater, he really pushed himself outside of his range too much.
I like him.
Some of that is okay. Yeah. Some of that, like, kind of pushing your own boundaries is good. I felt like he took it too far. And I wouldn't say it was necessarily bad, but he was always, to me, the weakest link of them. And because of that, I've never been really drawn to listen to his solo material.
So. His solo material, it's more rocking, more rockish, you know, more AOR type of stuff. So,
okay.
From what I've heard, I haven't heard a lot of it. So, you know, Dream Theater is touring the state soon. With and they're doing like they're playing Images and Words in its entirety.
Oh yeah,
and they're playing at Cullen Center. They're playing at U of H here, which is an interesting location for them to play. But it might be fun to go to.
Yeah,
yeah. Gore's coming soon, and who else is coming? They announced the Obsessed is opening up for Devin Townsend and Clutch on tour. That's a pretty damn good lineup. So, hey, let's take a quick little break from all of our gabbing here. I wanted to play an interview that I recorded before the hurricane, actually. Local comic book shop had the creative team behind the book Rock Stars. We actually have an issue to give out, signed by them, issue number 6, all about heavy metal type of stuff. But Rock Stars, it's a cool book. The first 5 issues are out in trade. It's by the author Joe Harris, and the artist is Megan Hutchinson. Joe Harris, he writes recently, I guess it's the X-Files comics, that kind of stuff.
Cool.
You ever see that movie Darkness Falls?
Yes.
He was a screenwriter on that movie, too.
I wouldn't tell that's too many people.
I've never seen it, so I don't know. All right. So... they're really cool. They did a great interview with them, talked about their book, about some music, all about a bunch of cool stuff. So let's get into that interview, and we'll be right back.
Cool.
I have the distinct pleasure of bringing on to the show Joe Harris and Megan Hutchinson. They are comic creators. They're working on a comic right now that I just picked up today called Rock Stars, which I'm super excited for. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
Let's talk about Rock Stars first. You have the first trade out, which is the first 5 issues, and then issue 6 just came out this week, which starts the metal portion of it.
Yes.
So let's talk about the first part first. Okay. Where did the idea for this comic come about from?
Just being a fan of rock history, in particular rock secrets and, you know, anecdotal cool stories and hidden messages on albums and Easter eggs and unsolved mysteries and stuff like that. So the first arc, which was called Nativity in Blacklight, was very much based on 70s pageantry rock and roll, you know, Led Zeppelin, David Bowie, T-Rex, Pink Floyd, that sort of thing. We'll get to what comes next after that, but Megan might have something to say, too.
Well, it's nice because both Joe and I are rock nerds. We disagree on music sometimes.
I think we're disagreeable, though.
Just in general.
We compliment.
We compliment.
One another.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely.
That's true. We do compliment.
No one belittles. Well, she belittles me sometimes, but that's okay.
Yeah, but it's all in good humor. But, you know, for both of us, and, like, we, you know, we both play music and have been in and out of bands pretty much our whole lives. And, you know, like, for us, it's also this, like, amalgamation between, like, our passions, you know, being, like, music and comic books.
Mm-hmm. So, to get the question out of the way, what's your favorite band of all time?
Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
Of all time?
Yes.
There was no...
No. I'm just... That's a big question to ask. No, I know Led Zeppelin's your favorite. I would have to... Oh, that sounds so cheesy. I would have to sing Nine Inch Nails.
That's great.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, but it also, you know, came... Like, that's when I became a woman. That sounds really dirty.
We have explicit
here. You're not the only one.
No,
I mean,
no,
I'm
no.
Sure there are lots
there
of...
There are a lot of... There are a lot of goth girls.
A lot of girls who became women listening yes. to Nine Inch Nails.
We all love Trent Reznor. Yeah. If you're listening, I'm available. I'm not. I'm married.
Divorces are easy.
So. Yeah.
Trent Reznor exception. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. There's a Trent Reznor clause in my marriage.
I'm available.
So how did you guys are hooked up with Image for this series. How did that come about?
Well, I had published a couple of series through Image previously, Great Pacific and another book called Snowfall. And Rock Stars was something I really wanted to do, and that created the crack in the door for us to bring a new project there. And I had met Megan through a mutual friend of ours, and we hit it off. And you know, we worked on this kind of in secret and by ourselves, wondering if anyone else would ever see it for a while. Mm-hmm. And then Image agreed to pick it up, and it's where we are.
So let's talk about the new arc that just came out. Mm-hmm. It's definitely heavy metal based.
Yes.
Iron Maiden font everywhere, which is
yes.
awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We don't want to spoil anything on where the first arc ends up, but mm-hmm. tell me what's going on now in the series.
Well, the arc is called Children of the Beast, and it updates our series and sort of brings our young rock and roll investigators a new case involving... the demonic side of rock and roll, and particularly 80s heavy metal really lends itself to that kind of imagery and scandalizing and, you know, scaring the parents while the kids love what they're being fed. And it's a new mystery, and it's based around, you know, the metal of the day that I love, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, you know, even tease Manowar and stuff like that in there as well. Yeah, it's something I'd wanted to get to the metal arc long before we even finished the first arc of the series.
What do you have planned after metal? Where can you go from there?
We still have to determine that, but the concept of Rockstars allows us to kind of modularly build out in any number of directions. You know, you can rock and roll is a really broad mm-hmm. subject, but there's a lot of universal things that connect all the different genres and eras, so we can take this anywhere.
So I know you've written a lot for characters and X-Files and a lot of other IPs that you don't own. Mm-hmm. How is that different, especially for art too, different than, you know, working on a established IP where there might be roles that you have mm-hmm. to go by, and working on your own, you know, owner created project?
The goal is to create everything original if you can. However, you know, hopefully you're doing work for hire on things that you really enjoy. Sometimes you're fortunate to get paid to do something whether you really like it or not. That's kind of the reality of being a freelancer and being a creator, somebody that's in any type of demand that they want to pay something to create something. But I would, if I could just make enough money, and Lord knows I have more than enough work to do in any discipline, but I would prefer to just do creator-owned all day if that's what I could do.
It's getting to be a big thing now with, you know, Mark Miller just signing that big deal with Netflix. It's owner-created.
If Netflix has room, I'm available.
There you go.
But, yeah, I'm down.
You heard it here, right? You heard it here first.
I'm here.
So you've worked on a lot of, like, go back to characters, so, like, you know, X-Men and Batman. What character, pre-existing character, would you want to work on? And you, too, what would you want to draw?
Oh, wow. If I could do anything. Comic book characters specifically we're talking about?
No.
Oh, wow. How could I be stumped right now? You know, I'll do Led Zeppelin comics if someone wants to get that license. I'm down. I'm your man.
There you go.
That's very appropriate.
Jason Bonham is playing tonight at the Woodland.
And, you know,
let's go ask him.
Yeah. Get permission right now.
Let's hand him some comments.
I don't think he's at liberty to give me the rights to do Led Zeppelin comics. No. I'd have to hope Jimmy Page doesn't hate me for our depictions of his legacy.
Oh, we depicted him in a very good light. I say this anytime anyone asks me this, because I think if I put this out into the universe, it will actually happen, but I would like to do Swamp Thing.
Oh, that'd be very cool.
And I would also like to write it, which is a horrible thing to say, because it's like, who wants to write an Alan Moore line, you know? It's like, I don't think I would do better, but I think it would be interesting. So just putting that out in the universe every 5 seconds that I can.
So as this is Metal Geeks, and we do geek out on other things besides metal, what do you geek out on besides, you know, heavy metal and music and comic books?
Ken Burns documentaries.
Oh.
Awesome. I'm serious.
I know you are.
I watch the Civil War a lot and baseball, and I'm heavily excited about Ken Burns' Vietnam, which debuts in a couple of weeks.
What about you, Megan?
I traditionally... No. This is what we love about Joe. He drinks Diet Snapple and watches Ken Burns documentaries. I geek out about more, normal things to geek out about. I don't know, normal, whatever. You know, like
Dr. You know, my Ken Burns cosplay, that doesn't, yeah. It's not your...
I have not seen that yet.
You should rock it. No, you know, like Game of Thrones, and my dog's name is Arya, you know? Oh. So that's the religion, well, we're not religious, but if we were, we would be Game of Thronesians or Harry Potter. And it's very romantic, because I'm Slytherin, and my husband is Gryffindor, and we make it work.
So, Game of Thrones this season, what's your quick opinion of what's going on?
Okay, so we have... look at Joe's face. This is all we've been talking about all weekend. He's very upset about this. What I really hope happens is that Daenerys actually becomes the bad guy. I hope that she does kind of follow along the lines of being the Mad King, and then she has to be destroyed, and I hope Sansa sits on the Iron Throne.
I never thought about that.
She's a good leader. Or the White Walkers just wipe out
White
everybody.
White Walkers win. And it's going to be really upsetting.
It's like the end of Rogue One. Everybody
I love.
They really
the
just
Star
need
Wars
to
movie.
Win. That would be the best outcome I can think mm-hmm. of, because it feels a little telegraphed to me right now, and I just want more doom and misery and no one to be happy.
So, wow, Joe. That's dark.
Hey.
We asked him.
Yeah.
So besides comics, I know, Joe, you've worked on some movie scripts. And mm-hmm. how is that different? Let's talk about some of the stuff you've worked on that's been produced. And how is that different than writing a comic book? Do you have to get into a different, complete mindset?
It depends on how you look at it. Like, if you're, like, writing a spec screenplay and you're like, this is going to be, no matter, you know, if you're an aspiring screenwriter or if you're a working screenwriter that's writing new material and has ideas, that's different and more relevant to... you know, your writing craft and how you're taking an idea and working it into something you can potentially sell or try and use as a sample to get work on. If you're actually hired on a film, it's a much different capacity. Then you're a crew member. You're above the line, but you're still, like, servicing this beast, this production. And you may have to write to get to point B because there's a problem related to coverage or something. You know, the movie could be going in a direction and they need someone to write something to help get them wherever it is they have to go based on the craziness of a production and whether or not everything they needed to get in the schedule was shot. So it's like, and I've been in these situations where it's like you're being employed to lend your writerly talents to getting this over the finish line in some nebulous way. So it becomes less about what you do in the dark and how great your craft is and more about how you can tap dance on command and can you make it happen. And I think it becomes more like what everyone else is doing on a set when you're working on a movie that's actually moving and, you know, springs leaks and has to be fixed. And
so it sounds like you've gone through that experience of...
I've had many different kinds of movie experiences, both exciting and like, what the hell am I doing here kinds. I am happy to work in whatever capacity will employ me and either pay me well or allow me to have my work seen by a bigger audience. And I'm fortunate enough sometimes to get to do that. And that's cool.
So we talked a little bit more before we recorded about some music. What kind of bands are you guys into right now? What is tickling your geek with music?
God. You are first.
So what we were talking about before, I'm trying to educate the world. There's a band, and I think they're out of LA, but I'm not entirely sure, but they're called Horror, and it's spelled H-O-9-9-0-9 because it's 666 upside down. But they're rap metal, which just sounds awful. It sounds like some terrible, like, late 90s, early 2000s stuff, but they're amazing, and they're like a cross between like punk and metal, and it's these two guys, and they're just magical fairy creatures. I adore them. I've seen them live like 80 times. I broke my watch the last show because I was moshing too hard.
That's a good show, man.
So I suggest like anyone who's into metal or hardcore or, you know, like even like harder punk would really like their stuff. And then I also listen to a lot of, you know, like when I'm in a mellow mood, I listen to a lot of satanic folk music. And like top of the pile is King Dude. Anything by King Dude is amazing.
I listen to a lot of folk metal, but I've never heard satanic folk.
It's a very niche sub-genre. I think I just made it up, but I'm sure that he would appreciate that title. And his name's King Dude. He's the king of satanic folk music. So those would be like my suggestions for people. Those are like what I'm geeking out hard about right now.
What about you,
Joe? Oh God, I'm going to disappoint your metal audience, but things I'm geeking out hard on are the 50th anniversary re-release of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It is the great Easter egg laden album in rock and roll history, and it sounds incredible.
Even though I'm a metalhead, I love the Beatles, and I truthfully, my favorite band of all time is Monkees.
So. It sounds the Monkees wonderful stuff. The Monkees great songs written for the Monkees, and they were iconic. But that Sgt. Pepper's re-release is incredible. It sounds spectacular, and it looks killer. I've geeked out and pored over it and looked for all the little hidden things again and again.
Did you get the vinyl?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I bought the gatefold. I love, I'm not a vinyl diving kind of person. I don't go to the record store to find things. I procure my favorite albums in these final formats, you know, like the Zeppelin catalog re-released and when 180 gram and, you know, all the Maiden records re-released and such. So,
I'm collecting those right now.
Right. So I've got my piece. I bought Peace of Mind again, and I bought, you know, Number of the Beast again, and Power Slave and Live After Death. And what's that?
The eighth time you've bought it?
Yeah. Well, it's like that for a number of different bands, right? And I'm back to buying it on vinyl again. Yep. But that's cool, hopefully for the last time. But we'll see. You know, hopefully I'm going to live a little while longer. So
there you go. So is there anything before I let you guys go about rock stars that we did not touch upon that you want to get out to my audience?
Buy it, please. Part one just came out this week. Issue two will be out in September. Or rather, issue 7, part 2 of Children of the Beast will be out in September.
And if you're looking to get into it, I was able to procure a copy of issue number 6, which is the first heavy metal arc signed by these guys. So that's going to be a giveaway coming up on this episode.
It's a good jumping on point, too. You don't have to read the first 5 issues to get it. I suggest you check it out because you can pick up the trade paperback for only $9.99. It's introductory priced. But I'd like to think that issue 6 is doesn't really need for you to be that familiar with. These characters are pretty easy to get into.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for your time. Any last things you want to get out there? What's coming up next for you guys besides Rockstar?
Oh, God. Well, I've got my X-Files comics have been adapted by Audible, starring the entire original cast. So Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny and William B. Davis, Mitch Pileggi. They're all, we just released X-Files Cold Cases, had come out recently, which adapted some of my earliest X-Files comics, and the next kind of tranche of this stuff, the X-Files Stolen Lives, is going to be released in October. And I've heard it, and it's amazing, and I still can't believe that Fox Mulder is arguing with Assistant Director Skinner and actually using words I wrote for them to do it. It's kind of awesome. Yeah. So.
That's pretty amazing. That's more impressive than mine. Well, I'm starting to write stuff, so I actually have a graphic novel that's going to be coming out next year. I can't announce it yet.
Okay. Well, when it's ready, come back on the show and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. But it will be all over my social media.
Very cool.
When we get it going.
Speaking of, where can people follow you on social media?
So my art name is Black EM Art. It's that on all social media, so Twitter, Instagram. What do those kids call that?
I'm either at Joe Harris or at Joe Harris NYC. I'm not that hard to find.
Or just Google rock stars.
It's a blessing and a curse, you know?
At least people can spell your name.
Well, thank you guys so much for your time. I appreciate it. And
thank you.
As we say on every show, we have two things we say to everybody. Keep it geeky and keep it metal.
Nice.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So there was our interview with Joe Harris and Megan Hutchinson from Rockstars. Check it out through Image. Really cool book. So welcome back to the show, everyone. Let's get on to it. You know who's not going to be touring anytime soon?
I don't know where you're going with this. You're
gonna have to... Decapitated.
What do you mean? Decapitated's on tour right now.
Maybe.
Wait, no, they're not. They've actually canceled the rest of the tour.
So we're not going to talk too much about it until any legal things come out, because there's right now it's just conjecture and
he said, she said.
Yeah,
stuff
it really
right
is.
Now.
So, short story. You want to go the short story on it?
So they got picked up in, I forget where, I think they were in California somewhere, and they got picked up by the police and extradited to Spokane, Washington, where they had been a couple of nights prior. And the entire band is facing, I don't think there have been actual charges pressed yet,
right?
But they're facing potential charges for kidnapping and rape.
There's a
woman who is alleging that that she got invited to the tour bus and that the band basically took turns raping her before she got away. Those were the allegations. Their band is saying none of that happened. We have witnesses that say that she came on the bus of her own accord and she left of her own accord and that everything was okay. And so right now it's a lot of, we don't really know.
Yeah.
Any way you slice it, this is a bad situation.
Oh yeah.
Because either Decapitated, who are, you know, gods of death metal, you know, these guys have some cred.
They have bad luck on tour buses, too.
They do have bad luck on tour buses. For those unaware, they lost their drummer it's been 10 years?
Yeah.
10
years
ago? They
had a really bad van accident in...
In Poland, wasn't it? And they weren't they in their home country when it happened?
Maybe.
And so either Decapitated are a bunch of horrible creeps, or you've got this woman lying, which is no good. Any way you slice it, this is a bad situation.
Exactly right. I mean, the truth will come out, whatever it happens to be.
I'm trying to be really careful not to jump to a conclusion and pick a side, because I recognize that my tendency is to want to be like, oh no, this woman's making this up. Not to, you know, because I like Decapitated. I like their music. I've been a fan of theirs for a long time. And so I recognize that I have a tendency because of that to want to, at least for my own sake, defend them. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what happened. And so I have to I have to acknowledge that.
Yeah,
and
you
so
have to
I'm trying to withhold
air of caution.
I'm trying to withhold judgment until we learn more. So,
but yeah, you're right. It could affect touring for many bands, not just metal bands, but any type of band out there.
This just goes to show you that there should be better procedures on who and what goes on tour buses.
Don't invite groupies on tour buses anymore. That's an old practice. You know what I mean? It's been prevalent with music forever, but if this shit's going to come out, you know, we don't know if it happened. We don't know if it didn't happen. If it didn't happen and she's lying about it, that's just, you know, it's, I don't want to say too much.
Well, if she's lying about it, then she's obviously trying to get notoriety and money out of it, right?
Right, yes.
That's if she's lying about it. And then if she's not lying about it, she should be willing to do whatever it takes to prove that she's telling the truth. And same thing goes for the other guys.
Exactly
too.
Right. I mean, if she's not lying and she deserves, you know, and she's telling the truth and she deserves the truth to be known, the same with the band. But if you're saying that she's just trying to get notoriety and her name out there,
well, plus
I'm sorry, there's bigger bands than Decapitated.
Again, it feels icky even going down this path, because
right.
another option is, because it's something that we've seen happen in the past, that she did something that she regrets, And so she turns it into, well, this is now my way out.
Maybe
I've done something I regret, and so now I can go and say that it was not consensual. And it just creates this whole problem for the kind of sexual crime problem that we have in culture right now, where you have police departments and judges who don't want to believe women who actually have been, and then that's exacerbated by women who didn't have anything happen but claim that they did because they want vengeance against some guy. You know, those things happen.
No, they do happen.
And it's terrible. And it muddies the water in an already complicated issue. And so that's why I say, no matter how you cut this thing, this is a bad situation. We don't know what happened.
We probably won't know for quite some
probably
time.
Won't for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll keep everybody up to, if you're not really catching up on it and keeping up with it, we'll talk about it on the show once we hear further what's going on, maybe hear the verdict, and we'll discuss a little bit more. But I wanted to touch upon this. A guy passed away this past week that's very close to who Dave and I definitely are. Who, as we are, is metalheads and is Disney fans and just nerds in general. Ex Atencio passed away. He's a legendary Disney Imagineer.
Guy had a formidable resume.
He started when he was in his 20s?
No, he got a job at Disney when he was 18 years old.
18, wow.
His first work appeared in Pinocchio.
Yeah.
He worked, that's old school. He worked on Pinocchio and Fantasia and a bunch of the movies from that era. He was selected personally by Walt Disney to go join Wed Enterprises, which was the predecessor to Imagineering.
Yep.
Back when basically everybody who worked for Wed Enterprises initially were people that were handpicked by Walt Disney, and none of them knew what they were doing. It was basically he went through the offices and went, "You, I want you, I want you, I want you. You're going to go work in this thing." And they went, "Okay, what are we doing?" And he would try to explain it, and they'd go, "Okay, so what are we doing?" Because it was so new. No one had ever done anything like this before.
So we're making a movie. No. You're making a theme park.
What's a theme park?
That? Yeah. What are we doing?
And so he was one of these early handpicked guys, and he wrote the script and lyrics for some of the most iconic Disney park stuff. He wrote the script for Pirates of the Caribbean, including the Pirate's Life for Me song.
He wrote the lyrics for that as well.
He wrote the script for the Haunted Mansion and the Grim Grinning Ghosts song there. His hand is in so many classic Disney attractions. Those are probably the most iconic, most high profile. The guy worked from, so what, he worked in with Disney from the late 30s all the way through, I think he retired in 1983 and then continued to be a consultant with Disney. Oh, because he worked on Epcot. He worked on Epcot before it opened.
That's cool.
And, he was 98 when he passed away.
Yeah.
So what a life.
It's a good life.
Yeah.
Bucket of win, as they say on some other podcasts.
Hollywood Babylon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's sad to hear, but I mean, the guy accomplished so much, so.
I mean, you can't go to any Disney park anywhere in the world and not hear his work. You've been on Pirates, you've been on Haunted Mansion, two of the most iconic attractions in all of Disney history.
Right, like his thumbprint's on stuff.
Just totally on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what better way to celebrate your legacy than that, right?
Right. I think we need to play some kind of version of Grim Grinning Ghost during this episode.
It's got
to
happen.
It's going to happen. So here's what we could do right now. We usually segment our show up. You know, we do our intro. Our intro is already almost an hour.
The whole show is what it is at this
point. I think this is going to be the whole show because there's no way there's no segment this week. We talked about, you know, what we wanted to talk about already.
We didn't talk about it yet.
We did not talk about it.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
We also didn't talk about The Tick.
Okay, that's true. All right. What I also caught up on another show during the hurricane.
There's another show during the hurricane that I watched too, and I can't remember.
Defenders?
Oh, yeah, The Defenders. Yes, that was the other show I watched. God. It was so bad, I fucking erased it from my memory.
I've not heard good things about
The Defenders. Let's start
from The Defenders. Might as well.
Okay, let's start with The Defenders.
Yeah. It's horrible. Yeah, you can say it.
Okay, it's not horrible.
No, that's horrible.
But it's not good.
I don't know, it's horrible.
There's parts of it that I really enjoyed.
What part was enjoyable?
I do not hate Iron Fist.
I hate Iron Fist.
I don't hate Finn.
That guy is the absolute worst on every part.
Mike Coulter and Finn Jones together
were boring.
It was not boring.
They were not even funny. It was forcefully funny. Like, they were trying so hard to, like, have relation and kind of...
I didn't see those relations.
Whatever. Like camaraderie. They had none.
Okay.
It was like a rock hitting a wood board between them two. It was boring to watch.
So did you like... Were there any redeeming qualities for you? What did you like?
The only part I kind of like was... They lifted up the part where Daredevil might come back for another season.
Well, you know they're going to do that.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Disney's pulling out, so... Who knows?
We haven't talked about that really either.
We talked about it last episode.
Okay. Yeah. There was nothing good.
Disney always pulls out, though.
Yeah, they sure do. Mickey doesn't want to get no other babies. Yeah.
That's right.
No, there's nothing redeeming about Defenders. It was boring, uninspiring, bad fight choreography. It was a really bad story.
Better choreography than Iron Fist.
Well, I mean, you don't have to try hard to be better than
I agree
Iron
on the
Fist.
Story. The story was very lackluster on it. It was, I mean...
Because they had great quality, like, people on the show. They just were kind of boring to watch.
So, I will say, if you've watched all the previous, you know, Marvel Netflix shows, don't not watch it. Watch it anyways, because you're so invested at this point.
Yeah, just form your own opinion.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I don't think I hated it as much as you did.
It's boring.
I still found some redeeming qualities out of it.
I can see why they only made it 8 episodes when after the end.
Asking me now, weeks later, what those redeeming qualities are, I can't remember. So, if that says anything right there.
Oh, what's her face lost her arm? That was kind of.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of.
Misty Knight.
Yeah.
Well, she had the bionic arm in the comics, too.
Right.
So,
that was kind of cool, maybe.
Yeah. Setting up the
even Jessica Jones was really annoying in this show because she kept on saying the same fucking line every episode. She was just being the same person. Are you done doing whatever you're doing? Are you done doing this? It was annoying. It was just horrible writing and just bad direction all around.
Okay. What about The Tick?
I didn't like it either.
What?
I tried so hard to enjoy it. It's just
fuck
not.
You on that one.
It's not good.
It is fun.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
I disagree.
The guy who plays The Tick is not funny.
He's great as The Tick.
No,
your mind is stuck somewhere in the past. You have to look to the future.
He's not funny. And the guy who plays Arthur is not funny. And
okay, I'll admit the guy playing Arthur is not great.
And then, like, another thing is I don't like the direction of the show. They're trying really hard to go for this, like, kick-ass, very super surreal type look.
Exactly.
And
what
that's not what The Tick is, and it should have never been that.
Well, I know what they're doing. They're making it's a gritty world, but The Tick is the cartoon character in this world.
And it's stupid.
It's not
stupid. And the guy is the worst fucking choice for The Tick.
He is not that bad.
Yes, he is. He's boring. He's boring than English toast. Because he is English.
Yes.
Yes. And he can't do an American accent.
He's doing The Tick accent.
That's not, no, it's bad is what it is.
But I mean, you have Ben Edlin actually writing and producing the show.
He wrote all the original Tick episodes, too.
I know.
So that means nothing.
So we watched the 6 episodes they released, and then I went back on the YouTube and watched the cartoon, like the first couple episodes of the cartoon.
Yeah.
That still holds up.
Yeah, even the original like TV show with Patrick Warburton holds up.
Totally.
All of those are on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, the Patrick Warburton version is totally different.
It's funnier.
Well, it's funny, yeah.
No, it's funnier. It's not. It's funny. It's funnier. The other one is just fucking boring.
I do not agree on that.
And the CGI is so bad, and they put so much of it in there. Yeah.
Where's Chairface Chippendale, Lou?
Huh?
Chairface Chippendale?
I don't know who that is.
It was like his big villain that he fought.
Which one was that one? I stopped watching.
He had a chair for his... No, this is like the original cartoon in the comics.
Oh, gotcha.
He had a chair for his face, and his whole thing was to take a big laser and put his name on the moon. That was his goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was...
There's no man-eating cow.
They have the wrong director and the wrong creative forces behind it, and whoever's directing the guy playing the Tick is doing a horrible job.
I do not hate it as much as you do.
Boring.
I like it.
It's the problem. It's boring.
All right, we'll move on from there.
Yeah.
We'll just agree to disagree definitely here.
I love the Tick as much as you do as a comic book and cartoon, but like...
Apparently show? Not, because I can look over everything.
Yeah, but you can look over a lot. That's the problem.
I do.
I criticize for what it is.
That's the problem, yeah.
And it's not good is the problem.
All right, we're moving on. Let's talk about it. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yeah.
I'm back now.
There we go. You haven't watched The Tick yet?
No.
I figured you would have watched it by now.
I've been so fucking busy.
It was only six episodes. It's weird. It was supposed to be a full season, but they only released like six episodes now, and the rest are coming out like early next year, which is weird.
I've been working so much that like I haven't played a video game in like a month. The only stuff that I'm watching right now is stuff that I'm already familiar with because I'm working while I watch. So I'm not trying to get into anything new. For the most part, I'm not really trying to get anything new or something that I really want to watch.
Pay attention to a lot.
Yeah, because I'm busy either making artwork or making product or working on something.
Sure, make us feel bad, Dave. Why not?
Yeah, I'm busier than all of you.
Unartistic people.
I make less money than all of you, so, you know,
that's
whatever.
Not true. I don't think that's true at all.
Being self-employed means working harder for less money than...
But you get more freedom than we do.
Well, that's true.
There's a payoff there.
There is a payoff. Yeah. I will grant you that. I will, and that is nice. I do enjoy that. But no, so I haven't really been watching a lot of TV or anything like that, but I did go see it the other night.
And what'd you think?
I don't want to hear too many spoilers at all, because I'm seeing it tomorrow night. Yeah. So
if you've seen the original, it's not really spoiling much.
It's been so long, I don't remember anything.
Yeah, I haven't.
It's better to be forgotten anyway. It's not as good as you remember it.
That's probably
good,
true.
Though, is it?
I haven't seen Pennywise? I haven't seen the Tim Curry one since I was a teenager.
I remember him being good as a character, though.
It does not hold up.
I'm sure that's true. At the same time, that was a very like formative movie for me.
It was a TV movie.
So. I know it was. But as
wasn't
far
it like
as
a two-parter or something?
It was a two-part miniseries, and it was one of the first horror movie experiences I had.
Gotcha.
Right. So it was an important one. So I was very interested to see what they did with this. I was really, really skeptical when they were kind of showing images of Bill Skarsgård and all this kind of stuff. I wasn't really sure that I was digging it.
Right.
He is fantastic.
Yeah, he did a good job.
He is the best part of the movie.
I disagree on that part.
I think he is. The movie as a whole is good. Is it great? No.
Doesn't live that
I don't think it's great.
I don't think
it lives up to the hype either.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I enjoyed it.
I think
what kills it, I'm not going to say what it is for Carrie's sake right now, but I have one major complaint about the early part of the movie. That I think was they made a really wrong move early on in the movie.
Which is why?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Okay.
Then the whole like middle act, I felt really suffered. I felt
the complete opposite.
I felt the middle act, they missed a lot of opportunities, and after we watched the movie, I read the Wikipedia page for the movie,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, where was this part of this character? Well, where was this part of this character?
They're releasing a director's cut that's supposedly adding like 15 minutes
okay,
to the movie.
Okay, that might be that might fix some of my complaints.
Maybe.
Because like I'm reading the Wikipedia article and I'm like, this they're saying this was in the movie, but it wasn't. This got cut out. So where's this? Because this is valuable. This is valuable. I want these things back in the movie. I felt like they missed a lot of I felt like its impact, Pennywise's impact on the kids was kind of pulling punches a little bit. I felt like there wasn't enough of him really driving them to, we don't have any other option but to go face this thing. I felt like they really didn't do a good job of establishing that.
Let me ask you a question. Is this movie, is it a scary, is it a horror movie? What is the tone of the movie?
It's the horror version of Stand By Me. It's a coming of age movie.
So Stranger Things.
It's not that good. It's not as good as
Stranger Things. Is better.
Yes, okay. It is.
I thought it was okay.
Now, those are my complaints. My complaints were that they missed some of that. Good things. I thought Skarsgård was great. I really enjoyed his depiction of Pennywise. I thought that was creepy, but also fun. I felt like the kids all did a really good job. I liked all of the kids. The girl who played Beverly was wonderful. She did a great job. I felt like, they all did pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was definitely a strong part. That was good. I liked the third act of the movie. I felt like they wrapped it all up really well. The final act of the movie was really good.
If they're not going to make a second part, I would be happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know they are.
Yeah, they have to.
Given the
source material.
Well, given the source material and given the box office return,
oh yeah,
they're making the second part. It's going to happen.
And the way it ends, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I felt like they finished strong. They finished real strong. So I enjoyed it. But I don't think it lives up to the hype.
No, I don't think it lives up to the hype at all. I think it was good. If I had to rate it, I'd probably give it like a 7 out of 10. My biggest grief about the thing, I really loved the kids. I think all the kids in the movie were good together.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved their portion of the story. The only problem about this movie is like they shoved a generic scary movie in the middle of it.
Okay.
I think that's my biggest grief with it. And like they had really good opportunities to make Pennywise honestly creepy and scary to remember for a long time, but they ruined it by making like a generic jump scare. And that's all
I agree.
All the scares in this movie are the generic
There were a lot of either cheap scares or other missed opportunities or there was one scare in particular in it that I thought was just completely silly and ridiculous.
The projector?
Yeah. It was stupid.
It was so silly. I thought, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. If I was a kid, I'd probably shit my pants. But seeing it on the screen,
it's really stupid.
It looks stupid.
Like, they reached a, like, leading up to that, creepy.
Yeah.
And that's where they should have left it.
They would have stopped at
a certain
point. And
they needed to stop.
I would have like, oh, dude, that was great.
Yeah.
But then they went
way too far. but it was that kind of thing. There was a lot of taking the wrong element too far,
right,
and not playing up the correct. And that's I think when I'm complaining about the second act as a whole, that I felt like the second act was just a lot of missed opportunity.
Mm.
It was that kind of stuff. I don't feel like we were sufficiently establishing that these kids are completely terrified,
right,
and are left with no other option.
And I really did like the conclusion of the movie. I just didn't like how they got there.
Okay.
I didn't like the excuse for the third act, which is Bev.
Yeah.
But I don't want to ruin it for Carrie.
We'll talk about it more next week after I see
and
it.
And another thing is, like, I felt like there was too many kids. I loved all the kids' chemistry together.
Wasn't one of the kids from Stranger Things?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not confusing.
The only problem is there's 7 kids all together. And it's hard to give them all something to do. So
yeah. How long is the movie?
Like 2 hours.
Okay. So
it's like a solid 2 hours.
Okay. It's not super short?
No.
No.
It's just that I felt like a couple of kids didn't have anything to do.
I felt like, so, again, illustrating my point, I felt like Stan's story was really weak.
Which one was Stan?
The Jewish kid.
I liked his scare, though. The office stuff,
but we there wasn't enough to establish it,
no,
and it was
wasn't.
And it kind of falls apart
right
after that. And I felt kind of the same way with Mike, that like,
which one's Mike,
the homeschool kid who
broken arm kid,
no the homeschool one who kills the sheep, works in the abattoir.
Black kid.
Yeah
the one who looks like Muhammad Ali,
kind of. Yeah,
he looks like Muhammad
he
Ali.
Does
It's weird.
I didn't even think about that until you said
that's all
it,
I could think about when I was watching that.
But
I was like, wow.
I felt like there wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough story for him.
For him.
Yeah.
And that
he had some really great moments, though.
He did have some great moments. His scare in the alley was
awesome.
Creepy as
yeah.
shit.
He had the best one out of all of them.
But then that was it.
Yeah.
It was like, we don't get more of that.
No.
And that's what I felt was missing, is that, and it may be because of what you said.
That stupid loud bang and shaky cam when Pennywise is chasing after you. It's fucking stupid.
And it may be part of what you said, that there were too many of them in order to really establish it, but that was what I felt the problem was.
There...
I felt like they spent a lot of time with
three
Beverly
kids.
And Bill and...
The fat kid.
That was Ben. Bill was...
always the fat
Bill,
kid.
Bill,
the fat kid's my favorite.
He was
movie.
Great. He was great. Ben...
There's some really great reference, 80s references with the fat kid. It's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
But Beverly and Bill's the main kind of the main one who
yeah.
Georgie's big brother.
So does it take place in modern time?
It takes place in 1989.
Oh, so it is 80s. Okay.
Yeah. So they changed the time period for it.
So what happens, like, you've seen the original It, right?
So,
it comes
so
back.
So long ago.
It attacks for a year. And after that 1 year, it goes in hibernation for 27 years. So when the movie ends, 27 years later, it'll be modern times when part two comes out.
Right.
Right, right, right.
Right. So the movie takes place in the summer of 1989. And so, like, the movie theater has, like, Batman and, like, all that.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3 is up
nice.
There, yeah.
Dream Warriors, which was, like,
they ain't gonna dream no more.
Like, I love the references in this. I thought there were so many good points that this movie could have been special, and they just didn't take the special care, and they just went for the cheap generic stuff.
But we got, you know what,
audiences.
We do got to talk about, it is the biggest horror movie opening ever.
I get it, I understand it, because it's a beloved property, it's a property people remember enjoying even though it doesn't hold up now, and like the way it's filmed, it's very unique. Like, it's filmed in a way that's it's fun, and but at the same time appeases the horror itch for people who like the modern horror movies.
So do you think it's okay, so let me ask you this, is it a mainstream horror movie?
Yes.
Or is it a
absolutely.
Horror movie
absolutely
for-
is
100%, and that's my biggest gripe about it. It's a too much of a mainstream horror movie when it could have been something special.
So it's not a horror movie for horror fans.
No,
it's a horror movie for mainstream
yes
movie fans,
like
yeah.
people who like
now
it's
a
Annabelle and stuff like that.
It's
like that.
It's a good mainstream horror movie,
yeah,
but it still is one.
It, yeah.
Yeah.
I got what you mean.
Because, like, I saw the first Conjuring movie. That was enough. I didn't need to see
I
the rest.
I liked the first Conjuring movie. I thought,
it was okay.
I thought it was pretty good.
It was all right. But, yeah, most... I'm a horror movie fan. I don't like
I don't
modern
like modern horror
movie
movies.
Thing.
I think they're boring. And
I think they're boring, too. And I think they rely too heavily on jump scares, which... some of my favorite horror movies are horror movies where nothing ever fucking happens, and it's just they. But you feel
like
wrong by the end of it, like
right.
The Witch. You feel wrong by the end of it.
I just read an article about the girl who played the lead character in The Witch. She's going to be with the New Mutants movie. Yeah, she's going to be in the New Mutants movie.
Oh, I just read some news about that. Actually,
it's going to be a horror movie.
The New Mutant. Mutants
the New movie? Mutants is going to be the
it's
first.
It's going to have Ryan Reynolds as a lead in it.
No, that's not New Mutants.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Oh no,
that's X-Force.
X-Force is what I'm
yeah.
thinking of. Yeah.
So we'll get to that. I heard that too. So New Mutants, it's based on the there's a I can't remember 89 or something a book by Bill Sienkiewicz. He was the artist on a great, beautiful looking drawn book. It was a New Mutants, but it was a horror story about like this bear that would. It would come out of their dream I don't remember the story exactly. I need to reread it. But this is what the movie is based off of.
Cool.
And it's going to be a horror-based movie.
Awesome.
I know that she was one of the characters in the movie.
Okay.
I just don't remember what she played, though.
And Chris McKay, or Adam McKay, the guy who's directing the new Nightwing movies, is excited for
Adam McKay?
Is it Adam McKay or Chris McKay?
I don't know.
It's one of the McKays. One of those. One of those dudes. And he's talking about how he's going to rely heavily on practical effects for the new Nightwing movie, which I'm excited to hear about or see.
Practical effects?
Practical effects.
Wow.
Yeah, like a guy doing his own stunts as opposed to like CGI characters that we're going to get in that shitty Justice League movie.
Anna Taylor-Joy from The Witch.
The Vivitch.
The Vivitch.
Yeah.
She's Ileana Rasputin. She's magic.
Ooh.
And that's cool. Maisie Williams is going to be Wolfsbane. Charlie Heaton is Cannonball. Henry Zaga is Sunspot. Blue Hunt, Mirage. And Alice Braga is Cecilia Reyes. So they have some cool characters.
Cool.
If you were a fan of the New Mutants growing up.
Never read it.
Loved it. So this is very exciting.
Cool.
It's directed by the guy who did The Fault in Our Stars, which I actually saw the movie. It's a heartbreaking movie.
The rom-drom, comma, whatever it is?
Whatever it is. But
Nicholas Sparks kind of
Yeah, thing. They die, don't they? Kids die.
I don't fucking know. Yeah. I didn't watch it.
I watched it. That's all I got to say.
Oh,
we're talking about X-Force then.
Huh?
What did you hear about X-Force?
Oh, it's just that Ryan Reynolds is going to play a lead, and there's a surprise star lead that they're not releasing yet, which I'm pretty sure it's going to end up being Cable.
It's going to be Cable.
Yeah, or Wolverine, or Hugh Jackman's making a surprise appearance, which is not likely.
I know it's probably going to feature Deadpool, Cable, Domino.
Man, did you hear about what happened on the Deadpool set about that stunt person?
Yeah, we talked about that last show.
God, that's crazy. All these stunt people dying.
It's sad.
Frankly, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often than it does.
I'm sure it does. It probably doesn't happen on like high-profile movies like these.
Demon Bear. The Demon Bear storyline. That's what I'm talking about for the New Mutants.
Oh, okay.
If you haven't read it, go out and read it. I might have the graphic novel here somewhere.
Cool.
It wasn't an issue. It was like an actual special graphic novel.
Like a one-off thing?
Yeah, when they used to do like the special graphic novels, not just rehashing everything that's come out for the past 6 months. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
There you go. Looking forward to that.
Any other news? Any movies you're looking forward to, Dave?
I'm not even...
You're looking forward to the Texas Renaissance Fair?
Yeah, that's basically my whole life right
now.
When
is that open?
Last weekend of September, September 30th, it opens.
So you got like 2 weeks.
I've got like 2 weeks to finish getting ready. Yeah, and so much to do.
Not to put the pressure on, okay. What about you, Carrie? Any movies you're excited about?
What is coming out? I don't know.
That American Assassin movie comes out this Friday.
Yeah.
Blade Runner comes out pretty soon.
I am excited for Blade Runner. The trailers and the music and all the visuals have me really hyped, and I hope it's good.
Like, look,
I really want it
to
be good.
I want it to be good.
I understand Blade Runner is like a beloved property, and like people love the fuck out of that movie. I think it's pretty, and I understand the significance of the movie, but god damn, is that movie fucking boring?
Are you a replicant?
No.
Are you sure?
It's a slow movie.
It's a hard movie to watch.
It is. I will give you that. It is a hard movie to watch, but it's a great movie. It's also one of the few movies I think that visually still holds up really well.
Oh yeah, bar none. Like nobody can touch visually how that movie looks. I just think the story just fucking moves at a snail's pace.
It is slow, but it's great. It's a great. Great movie.
And so like we obviously got the answer that, you know,
yeah, I've kind of had to get over that.
Yeah, it's like,
because I am disappointed that,
that's not the case.
I'm disappointed that we have an answer.
Oh god, gotcha.
That's what I'm disappointed in, because that was,
you like the idea of it being
open-ended
and really knowing, even though fucking Ridley Scott hammered it in your head with all the alternate cuts he made.
Mm-hmm.
Taking shots from Legend and putting it in Blade Runner. And all of a sudden we got a unicorn that means something in Blade Runner, which didn't mean something before. But anyway, I'm excited because Denis Villeneuve is directing it, and he's made some of my favorite movies in the past couple of years. So
What do you think about the new Hellboy?
Oh, he I saw a couple great. Of pictures.
It looks
he
fucking,
looks like Ron Perlman is what he looks like.
It's yeah, David Harbour is a great actor too. He just looks the part. I'm excited for it.
I'm just a little nervous about his comedic timing because I've only seen him do drama and everything I've ever seen that guy do.
Yeah.
So
you watched The Newsroom, right?
The Newsroom on
yeah,
HBO?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't watch that, no.
You gotta watch that show, dude.
Does he have comedic moments?
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I feel like there is some sense of comedic timing in his performance in Stranger Things.
There's a little bit.
A little, but in a way that would be appropriate for Hellboy. This kind sure. of like
it's
this
not
kind
like
of
Ron Perlman though. Ron Perlman is right. like snarky and sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's kind of like I feel like this is going to be like the Batman Begins for Hellboy, maybe.
Like really dark.
Yeah, really.
I hope.
Like it's going to be the dark, gritty version.
I sort of hope it is.
And then like the Ron Perlman, Guillermo del Toro's are going to be like the Tim Burton of Hellboys.
Maybe.
Like
I'm okay with
like,
that.
Like those were like, oh man, these were cool. And then like then the new one comes out and it's not so cool. Did your computer break? Okay, good.
It's running out of room.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
So, I guess it's time to wrap up this episode.
Your computer hard drive agrees.
Your computer is like, hey, I'm full here.
What the fuck you doing to me?
But Hellboy looks awesome. I'm excited. Is it a movie or a TV series?
A movie.
It's a movie, yeah. Movie. Comes out in January 2019.
Netflix movie, right?
No.
No,
proper theater movie, yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Nice.
They just announced what John Wick 3
I
is going
to
be coming
don't
out.
We have to do another origin story. Is what I'm hoping for.
I hope not.
I hope we just get straight into like some cool mysticism that was in the comics.
Exactly right. I don't know.
It's a shame that we couldn't fucking get a goddamn ending
yeah,
for the
I know.
Del Toro versions.
There needs to be, but there's
at least
never
an animated one. Come on.
Yeah.
So that does it, huh?
I guess so.
Okay.
I mean, you guys have anything else you want to discuss?
I mean, it's late. That's what it is.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap it up then. Let's talk about our sponsor real quick. So if you're looking for some cool Funkos, like the new Hellboy series that was just announced, look how I played that together. You can get those pre-ordered at tantrumcollectibles.com.
Don't throw a tantrum.
Don't throw a tantrum. Order your Hellboy Funko Pops. You might get the Chase one with the horns, which looks really cool. Use the coupon code METALGEEKS. You're going to save what? 10%. Okay, you can say it louder.
Is it 10%?
Is that a question or a definitive answer?
We're playing Jeopardy, is what I thought.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the answer is 10%.
Okay, all right. Woo!
Ding! You're also going to be able to get Bandai toys, artifacts, Band Presto, and much, much more. So go to tantrumcollectibles.com. Don't throw a tantrum. Get
Go
your collectibles today.
Try. Metal Geeks. Put your code in. Save some monies.
Yes. All that good stuff. So you can find us, of course, at metalgeeks.net. You can find us on iTunes. Subscribe to us there. Give us a review. All social media is at Metal Geeks. Dave?
Me? You can find
Brutal.
Me at Red Viking Dave on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. See what I'm drawing.
And you can find me on all social medias, George Tripsas, it's TRIPSAS, or you can find me at fucking Grey Bear Comics.
You'll
get to something way weirder.
I don't think I want those issues.
No, you don't. It's erotic fan fiction for Speak No Evil. It's weird. Super weird.
Harry Potter Erotica, whatever
yeah.
was it?
You can go to Grey Bear Comics, check out our comic, Speak No Evil.
You have a new issue?
Issue 3 is coming out very, very soon. Things got pushed back because of the hurricane a little bit. But we're looking for an early November release for issue 3 instead of like a late September like we planned.
Very cool.
So we'll see. Hopefully everything happens the way it's supposed to. And issues 1 and 2 are available now. And then also if you want to hear me and Justin laugh about stupid bullshit, come do Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast.
Oh, there's one thing. Nice thing next week, next episode, we're going to get back to our normal. We're going to have George Hates Metal. We're going to do What's Tickling Our Geek. We're going to go back to our normal segments. But this was just more of a stream of consciousness since we've haven't done an episode in so long.
Yeah, it's been a while. We've had back in the groove.
We've had so much going on in our lives in the past few weeks with the hurricane and everything. So we just wanted to get together and hang out and talk. You know what I mean?
Totes.
But there is one thing I want to say that I am looking forward to that comes out tomorrow. Metroid Samus Returns on the Nintendo 3DS. Complete remake of Metroid 2 that was on the Game Boy back in the 80s.
I still have that game.
I do too. I'm stoked for this.
I bought that Sonic game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's good.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Goddamn, it's hard.
Not as hard as the Crash Bandicoot remake, though.
Whatever.
Fuck.
Sonic is harder than I remember.
Yeah. Well, Sonic's always been a difficult game.
God. It made me think, like, fuck, how was I good at this game as a kid?
Because you had nothing else to do.
I guess so.
You had the sugar-fueled twitch reflexes. Yeah.
Like, ah!
That's probably what it was. All that cereal you ate, and then you get to play some video games, watch some cartoons, play some video games.
You know what? The biggest killer for me in those fucking games is the water. I keep fucking drowning.
Yeah.
I hate that shit. Anyway.
It's a fun game, though.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
I haven't played a game in like 2 or 3 weeks, truthfully. I need to get back to finishing the new Uncharted game. That's what my next goal is.
Uncharted.
Uncharted.
Oh, I'm also playing, I was playing till the hurricane happened, Last of Us.
Yeah.
Yeah, you let me borrow that, so I still get scared playing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had to stop a couple of times.
Very cool. All right, well, I guess we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Metal Geeks Podcast. And as always,
keep it metal.
Oh.
And keep it geeky, motherfucker.
That's right.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.